Tehillim, I'm thinking about all the families in Buffalo and realizing just how much suffering and brokenness still exists in the world, and how the Tehillim were saying we should keep in mind so many of God's creations, and they are all God's creations. We shouldn't think that it's just for the people we know in our family. But Maaseh Yadai, these, and the suffering, if you were listening to news reports, the pain in the voices of the families that, you know, wake up in the morning and you think everything's fine, and it's not fine. And it happens like that. So we really are dependent on the chesed and the compassion of Hashem on a daily basis. And so whatever help we can muster with our Tehillim, may that help be forthcoming to whomever needs it, really. I'm looking here at Larry, and I think tomorrow, Larry, is moving day, is it? So I just want to say, so Larry, I met Larry and his sister Leah Cohn last summer. I think it was August, Larry. I think it was in August. And they had just, maybe we're still in the midst of Shiva. I don't remember. You were still in the midst of Shiva following the passing of your mother. Larry resided then in Montreal. Leah lives in the neighborhood. And they came to our shul looking for a minyan. They needed to say Kaddish. And Baruch Hashem, the people in our shul were, you can speak for yourself, but I think everybody just, you know, we're Jews, we're family. You know people, you don't, you're still family. So Larry and Leah came regularly, and Larry moved from Montreal to Toronto, bought a home in North Toronto, and tomorrow is moving day, and I think I'm going to miss you.
I'm going to miss this place.
And, you know, we came to know each other through a moment of sadness, but that's how many of us get to meet each other, and that just, I think, speaks to the strength of our connections, the strength of our religion and our customs. So Yehi Ratzon, may you have atzlacha and bracha and health and happiness in your new home. And we look forward to seeing you when you visit back here with your sister Leah. Long life and good health.
Amazing.
So I just want to take a minute just to refresh our thinking a little bit about tomorrow night. So tomorrow night, we're going to count 33 days. That's tomorrow night. I can say that. Because it's going to be, as you know, Lag BaOmer. Lag is the gematria of 33. It's the 33rd, it will be the 33rd day in the Omer. So why is that such a big deal? So our sources reveal three different reasons as to why Lag BaOmer has sort of found these dimensions of some sort of joyous celebration. One is, the most popular answer is this, is that for much of Sfira, the time between Pesach and Shavuot, history has shown that this was a period of sadness. It wasn't intended to be. When you read through it, I said this weeks ago in one of the Divrei Torah I shared, when you take a look at the Divrei Torah, the way the Torah describes the period between Pesach and Shavuot, it's a joyous time. It's a time of harvest. It's a time of anticipation towards Har Sinai, Matan Torah. There's nothing, no hint of sadness or mourning in the Torah at all. At all. But on top of that, the Chachamim layered sadness because of an event that happened in the second century. And this was the time of the Roman occupation in Israel and an attempted coup led by Bar Kokhba, and many of the great Torah scholars were murdered. But the Gemara tells us specifically that 24,000 students, or 12,000 pairs, that's really how the Gemara says it, 12,000 pairs of students of Rabbi Akiva died between Pesach and Shavuot during a period of what seems to be 33 days. The impact of having the elite Torah leadership be decimated was not only frightening, but it was a moment of deep self-reflection for the Jewish community. I can't even begin to think of how this must have affected Rabbi Akiva, a man of extreme optimism, but to have almost your life's work killed must have been difficult. And so the day in which they stopped dying was a joyous day. Mara tells us they died of some sort of mysterious illness. Some suggest that that is a code word for them participating in the rebellion against Rome. But either way, whatever the source of death, they died over a 33-day period. We were asked to mourn their deaths for 33 days. Now, how you count those 33 days is a point of controversy in halacha. So when you count it, it's mourning. So we now know men don't shave, women don't get haircuts, we don't get married, we're not engaging in overly joyous activities. Do you listen to music? Do you not listen to music? Is a cappella music okay? Is a cappella music not okay? A lot of those debates, but clearly there's this layer of mourning that's supposed to happen. But it's supposed to come to an end. When do it come? When it comes to an end, here's the debate. And it's a debate between the Rav Yosef Karo, the author of the Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber, and Rav Moshe Isserlish, the Ashkenazic gloss over on the Mechaber's point of view. So the Mechaber, Rav Yosef Karo, believed that there have to be 34 days. And he came up with his calculation. I know I've said 33, but Mechaber says they actually died 34 days. 34 days. And no haircuts and no shaving and no nothing on the 33rd day. It can only happen on the 34th day. 34 complete days? Not necessarily. We have a principle when it comes to the observance of mourning that you're allowed to treat part of the last day as the entire day. So, for example, what we're all familiar with is, when do you get up from Shiva? Well, Shiva means seven. So, technically, you would have to sit Shiva for seven full days, which would mean Shiva should end at sunset. But we don't. We rely on this sort of kula, this leniency, that the little part of the morning can somehow assume the entirety of the day, and so Shiva ends there. So too, the 34th day. You have to get into the 34th day. The Ashkenazic opinion says no, that you don't need to necessarily wait the 34 days. So here you have a Moshe Isserlish which says, well, we have a Masorah, that it was just 33 days. But when does the 33 days begin? Well, the day begins in the evening, right? Oh, so Lug Bomer in the evening, it's all over. So the truth is, much of it is over. So tomorrow night, which is Wednesday night, there probably are going to be all sorts of bonfires and music playing and get-togethers, which is totally fine. So are all mourning practices then over on the evening? And there you find most of the halakhic authorities say, not quite. The music and stuff, that's okay. But when it comes to the shaving and the personal grooming, the haircuts and the shaving, that you have to wait till after sunrise on the 33rd day, which would be Thursday morning. There is, however, a lenient opinion to Achronim that's clear, that are prepared to be lenient on Wednesday night and say that you can, in fact, shave. I don't want to misrepresent and say there is no opinion. There is an opinion. But the bulk of halakhic opinions say that you should wait. Now, that is on one side. The other side is a different calculation entirely. And the calculation is this. 33 days? Absolutely. The first system that I just described to you starts counting day one on the second day of Pesach, and you just count sequentially till you get to 33. Tosafot says, well, that's not exactly the way we think it happened. We understand that the students of Rabbi Akiva died over 33 days, but they died over 33 days between Pesach and Shavuot. Now, there is some days in between where they didn't die. What were those days? So Tosafot says those are the days between Pesach and Shavuot when Tachanun is not recited. Those are the days that they did not die. So that would mean this. That means if you're going to follow Tosafot's opinion, when you follow the observances of mourning, you're actually going to be keeping them from Pesach all the way to Shavuot with the exceptions of the days in the middle. But it's that whole period from Pesach to Shavuot. One of the great opinions, the Arizal, said that, in fact, is the way he would keep this period of Omer as mournful. I think the overwhelming, well, I shouldn't say that. I think many Hasidim follow that, and there's quite a lot of them. But many people, including myself, I think we count from the second day Pesach to get to the 33 day of Omer. So that's like in a nutshell. But that explains only one of three possible reasons of why this day has assumed some joyous dimension. One is, thank God this mysterious death or the death as a result of their participation, the rebellion ended. Two other reasons. The first of the two is still connected to Rabbi Akiva. After the decimation of his yeshiva, as it were, 24,000 students, Rabbi Akiva started again. It's hard to imagine this. He sort of relocated in the southern part of Israel, and he began teaching Torah again to five distinguished Talmidim. Of the five distinguished Talmidim, his most distinguished Talmid was Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. And it was on the day that we call Lag BaOmer that Rabbi Akiva gave smicha to Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. And that's a day of joyous celebration, because if the 24,000 students died, and that meant that their influence was now brought to an end, giving smicha to this extraordinary man somehow is that sort of rebirth of the possibility of Torah once again being shared so widely. So that's the second source of why it may be a happy day. The third source is more related to the Zohar. We do have it's sort of an interesting notion in Judaism, a yurtzeit. Is a yurtzeit a happy day or a sad day? So it's an interesting question. You would think that it's an anniversary of something sad that befell you or us, and so it should not be celebrated. But within the world of, I guess, tzaddikim, the fact that a tzaddik's neshama would be taken to the heavens doesn't necessarily mean it's a sad day. So according to some sources, the Zohar mentions this, Lag BaOmer is the day of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai's yurtzeit. And in addition to that, if you take a look at the way in which Chazal described the day of his passing, his patira, his home was surrounded by these fires. And so now I see, his death and the fires, and now I get to the bonfires that we seem to associate with Lag BaOmer. So I don't know whether maybe all three are correct, maybe whatever reason that you think is the reason that sort of speaks to you, there is definitely an association of Lag BaOmer with a sense of simcha, of celebration, and a hopefulness for the future. So Yehi Ratzon, may this coming Lag BaOmer beginning tomorrow night and Thursday, you should take some time and do things which bring you joy and simcha with your family, preferably if you have children, do it with your kids. If your kids have a school program, go to your school program. I think they need to see all of us there celebrating and realizing that amongst the things that happen in our world, which take us in the complete opposite direction, when we have a time to be mesameach in a way that elevates ourselves, our families, our Torah, and our community, I think we should do it. Rabbi Hanani ben Akashi Omer, Atzakadosh Baruch Hu, Lezakati Yisrael, Lefichach Yibalim Torah Mitzvot Shenemar, Adonai Chafetz Neman Siko, Yagil Torah, V'yadir Kaddish Dirabanan.